Len, it's an interesting week at the Players' Championship. Weather has hampered the tournament for a few days now, and all I can think is Len Zeem is very happy he didn't load up the Zeem machine and drive all the way to Jacksonville for the week, because covering this let's start it, let's stop it tournament that's now being played in a windstorm, it has just got to be crazy.
Yeah, you know, I remember covering a Masters that was kind of like that about, oh, in the early 90s, I think, that was, the players were finishing their rounds and you try to interview them and they were 14 or they, you know, it was just it's a nightmare from the journalism side trying to cover that one. I was credentialed to go to this Players Championship, but for a variety of reasons, it was just, it didn't seem like it made a lot of sense. And then the weather was, I think, even worse than it was projected to be. So it's been a weird one. The whole Florida swing has been strange, I think, but this just this overdoes it here, because you know, they barely played Friday. We're going to finish on Monday for sure. I hope that they're able to finish on Monday. But the last of the Florida swing, the Valspar Championship, is next week, a lot closer to us here. And I think my favorite of the four Florida tournaments, because for a variety of reasons, it's just a nice golf course close to here, real friendly people that we know there. So anyway, the Florida swing has been more eventful this year than it has been in the past few years, I'll tell you that. And I think I could go back to the good old days when the weather was better.
Len, let's talk a little bit about course setup. A lot of players upset with the way that the Arnold Palmer Invitational was set up last week at Bay Hill. Rough was extremely deep, and maybe even worse so, they said the greens were so slick that guys would set their putter down on the green and it'd slip, and they had trouble lining up the ball. And some players have hinted that they, if it's going to be like this next year, they're not even coming back. So I think the PGA Tour needs to take a good look at course setup, and then you know, there's always some debate about the course setup this week, even before the rain and the wind over at the Players Championship. So it'll be interesting to see what they do over on the Copperhead course at the Innisbrook Resort, because if they set that up pretty difficult, you're going to have players really scratching their heads by next Sunday.
Yeah, the setup at Bay Hill last week, that was kind of the large part of the story there. I mean, they had grown the rough much, much deeper than they ever had it before, and that was the greens were burned out. They really didn't even look good. It made that tournament a strange one. Though the weather was very nice weather through all 4 days, and huge crowds were there, but it was I saw some elements there at Bay Hill that I haven't seen in a golf tournament in a long time. I mean, there was a crowd control was an issue. There were some incidences in the last day of that tournament where police were involved, and it was, you know, they got the tournament in, but it was kind of a strange tournament that the scores were not good the last round. That was the story there. Now over here at the Players, the weather is going to be the story for sure, because it's thrown the whole place into disarray. I mean, I think whatever tournament you went to, if it had this kind of weather where they had to scramble to get it in, the job of the organizers is a tough one. Whether that would be the same case, I suppose it would be the same case over at Innisbrook Resort on the Copperhead course. I think the course there, I can't see that one, the course itself looming as a problem there. That's one of the most popular courses with PGA Tour players year in and year out. So hopefully that'll be more of a business as usual tournament next week. I think it's going to be, I would always love to go over there and see play on that course. And I'm looking forward to it again.
Well, there's nothing like watching the professionals have to navigate the last three holes, the snake pit. When you're on the 16th tee, you're greeted by Striker, the copperhead snake. His statue stands there, and it's a pretty good place to watch some golf. You know, one of the interesting stories heading into this week wasn't who was at the Players' Championship, but who wasn't. You know, Phil Mickelson's not there, and the commissioner was questioned during his pre-tournament press conference about Phil being suspended, and of course, the tour doesn't talk about that, and a lot of players said there should be more transparency regarding suspensions, but Phil wasn't there. Steve Stricker, because of his health, who had earned a spot by winning the Senior Players Championship last year, wasn't there. Bryson DeChambeau, still injured, decided not to play. Kevin Na, who was supposed to be in the field, he and his wife were expecting a baby this week. So there was at least four players who were in the field who were going to be no-shows.
Well, add to that list, Hideki Matsuyama, he came up with some back trouble. It was a late withdrawal over there. The story with that cannot be considered a suspension because the Monahans said that he would, before he plays again, they've got to have a talk. Phil's got to have a talk. I've got to look on that as a suspension, whether the tour wants to call it that or not, because just the nature of it. I mean, his commentary was obviously what triggered him dropping off the tour, whether he was told to get off or not. No, and nobody's going to say that. It is what it is. I mean, it was a kind of an ugly scene for the PGA Tour. And, you know, Phil Mickelson, he's just theoretically, he's just another player, but he is a player who the crowds like to see. And it's better to have Phil playing, I think, than not playing. So we'll see how long this quote suspension, unquote, or whatever it is, how long it lasts. I can't imagine it extending all the way through the Masters, but we will find out.
Well, the Masters, Phil would be allowed to play. The PGA Tour has no control over that. So so Phil would be playing there regardless of what his status is with the PGA Tour.
Well, assuming the Masters would let him in, and I would think they would. But, you know, it's just I hope the plea from the players, McIlroy in particular, for more transparency by the tour. I think that's long overdue. I hope that if nothing else, the Mickelson incident there does change the tour's policy and improve its transparency on player matters.
Len, you and I discussed last week a little bit about the Chicago Golf Show being canceled and being done in the virtual format, but we're seeing that the large golf show in Michigan, the Novi Show, went on last weekend as scheduled, and we have a couple of golf shows in Wisconsin coming up in Madison and Milwaukee that are going on as scheduled. We're almost out of weeks to have these indoor shows because outdoor golf season is coming, but I don't know. I'm still amazed that it seems like all of these indoor golf shows are being held except for the big one here in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, you look back on this, and I feel exactly the same way. I mean, that show has been a staple or something that the whole community looked forward to for years and years. It's been going on over 30 years. And, you're seeing a lot of, certainly more golf shows are being held than are being called off. The PGA Merchandise Show went on here in Florida, even though it had basically half the exhibitors and half the spectators. So I don't know what to make of this thing with the Chicago show. I just must say that I sure hope it gets back to business as usual next year, because 2 years off, maybe there'll be some positive changes made in all the golf shows. And, but especially Chicago, that's something I think the golf community in the city certainly missed this year.
One thing I think has to be considered, potential new suburban location. You know, Tom Corcoran has the answers here, but there are some that would tell you it's probably costs a little more to put a show on, a little more for booth space. And obviously, we've heard from numerous people that complain about the rate to park your car there. So if there's a suburban location that would allow Corcoran Expositions to charge a little less for the boots, get free parking like some of the other places. Maybe it'd be also a lot easier to have the golf show next year. That we'll have to wait and see on that, but it'll be interesting to see if the show, hopefully it's back in person, and if it's in Rosemont, hey, that's great, but if it's somewhere else, that'd be good too. So this past week, Len, a few of us media types got to run out to Medina on Monday and meet the four of the five Illinois finalists for Drive, Chip, and Putt. Four of the youngsters were there that are headed to Augusta. And I'll tell you what, these youngsters are pretty good golfers. One thing, though, that a few of them are going to run up against, they are on the younger side of their age bracket. And in some cases, they might be playing against kids that are almost 2 years older than them, which really makes a difference at that stage of development. The only player that wasn't there was Lisa Copeland, who will be making her second trip to Drive, Chip, and Putt. She's been working on her game down in your neck of the woods all winter in Florida, and we wish her well, and also the four kids from up here that'll be heading down. And I think it'll be great to see them compete, but again, a few of them are going to be up against it, just the way the age bracket breaks down.
Yeah, I made a special trip to be there at that event. I believe it was 2019, I think it was. A very well-run event, and very, I mean, the players get active there. A number of them come out and watch the kids play go through their contests. I think that was a great thing for Augusta National's members to do, and it certainly made for a, I think it can only have been brought more kids into the game. Another avenue to encourage younger kids to get involved in golf. All in all, a very, very positive thing. And I think it's great that Chicago has basically five of the finalists. That's quite an accomplishment to qualify to get down there, because there's three stages of qualifying, you know, nationwide for these kids that got to go through to finally make it. So it'll be interesting. Hope, wish them all well. I hope they make a good showing for our city.
Well, Len, there's news out of the Illinois PGA. They had previously announced White Eagle Golf Club for the Illinois Open and McRae Memorial for the PGA Section Championship, but they have now announced that Elgin Country Club will host the match play for the second time in 3 years. And right now, though, they are still searching for the site of that fourth major championship in the fall that will take place right around the first week of October, the Players' Championship. And there is still no announcement there. But Elgin, I thought, was a great site. Host pro John Dupler won the tournament there in 2020. And you have to consider him one of the favorites for this year. Also on the Illinois PGA front, one of their Monday events is going to be played at the historic Chicago Golf Club, and nobody can really remember the last time there was an event there, and it turns out about 120 section pros signed up for that event in the first 120 minutes you could. So I'm sure that'll be a really good day for all of the guys to get out there and have a chance to play Chicago Golf Club. And also it came to our attention that Executive Director Kerry Williams has a little rebuilding to do in the front office. There was three people that apparently departed over the winter, so we could see some new faces on the staff over there at the Illinois PGA Executive Headquarters.
So it's funny that the odd, I guess, is the word that the Illinois PGA hasn't filled all its majors yet. And the ones that they have, I mean, Elgin's a great choice, I think, especially for match play. Excellent choice. But, you know, McRae, that hasn't been used for tournament play much at all. That's right in our backyard, or my former backyard. That's a tough track. I think they're going to be challenged there. And, of course, White Eagle, that's been a good tournament course for quite a while. So the choices for the majors are really, you know, they're different and everything. It's just odd that I think that the whole schedule isn't drawn up quite by now, because the Chicago District Golf Association, which has a very big tournament season, they had their schedule out almost before last year's ended. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see how the Illinois PGA gets things going. They have kind of a tentative schedule put up on their website, and I'm sure they'll have a lot of good events, but it's time now to start pondering where they're all going to be. I think that's the Illinois PGA schedule, tournament schedule, is followed by an awful lot of people throughout the Chicago area, and I think they're looking forward to seeing where the main events are.
Len, there are some more changes, some of them just taking place this week and in the last couple of weeks, especially up here in the northwest suburbs. We have some general managers or director of golf operation type people moving around. Just came out this week at Elk Grove, which is ready to open the golf course maybe a week from today. We'll have their new clubhouse up and running at the same time. Their longtime golf operations manager, Tom Klaus, moving on and out of the business into a friend's construction firm. So there'll be a change over there for the first time in years. We're also seeing a change for the first time in over a decade. The Arlington Heights Park District golf operations, Tim Govern, moving up to Lake County, closer to home. And he will be the director of golf at White Deer Run in Vernon Hills, replacing our good friend Bob Malpete, who retired at the end of last year. And there will be a little bit of a shakeup in personnel. We will see what happens at the Rob Roy Golf Club in Prospect Heights now that the River Trails Park District that formerly operated the club and then had it go over to the Wheeling Park District for a couple years. And now River Trails has taken it back after Wheeling has stepped down in running it. So there'll be some changes over there at Rob Roy as well. So it'll be interesting to see how some of these facilities come together with new people running the ship.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, all the news of this that's been coming out now, you know, usually it's another couple months or so before you get that many professional changes, and I'm sure there's going to be more of those coming. But there are plenty of people that want those jobs. I mean, we're seeing a lot of cases around the country that that there's a shortage of people who want to work. But I'm sure that won't be the case in golf. It'll be interesting to see how all the facilities start up. I'm sure there's going to be some changes once where there are every place is up and ready to go.
Len, we were looking at some of our locals and some of their recent golf efforts, and last weekend it was nice to see Northbrook's Nick Hardy make the cut on the PGA Tour in the Puerto Rico tournament after not playing at Bay Hill. He had missed cuts in five of his seven previous events, and the two cuts he made left him in 63rd and 67th place. Also making the cut down there was Highwood's Patrick Flavin, and so it was good to see him make the cut as well there. Meanwhile, after missing the cut at Bay Hill, Arlington Heights' very own Doug Gim has missed three straight cuts on the PGA Tour. Of course, Doug is battling away at the Players' Championship today.
Yeah, Doug is looking good on the Players' side. Kevin Streelman was under par in the early stages of round one. I'm not sure where he finished. He's played well. Doug was in the final group last year playing with Justin Thomas. He dropped way back in the final round, but it was a great experience for him and just a surprise in a way that a player as young as him could be reach the final round of a tournament of the Players. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. Nick Hardy, it was good to see him shoot 66 in the last round at Puerto Rico because I think he needed a round like that to, you know, kind of, he's still getting used to the PGA Tour. I mean, this is a brand new thing for Nick. He's gotten into a few tournaments prior to earning his PGA card, but he earned some money in the fall right after he became eligible for PGA membership. But I think he's going to turn into being a real good player. It's just a case of getting used to things a little bit.
Len, last Saturday, a lot different than this Saturday. Here it was almost 70 degrees on Saturday. We had a few golf courses that actually opened. Most of them were still pretty wet, which is why the ones that had carts out had them cart path only. But today, a different story when we get up. It's only 13 degrees this morning, but temperatures are supposed to at least be back up close to 50 by tomorrow afternoon. And then it sounds like a low to mid 50s all week and into next weekend. And that's got some golf courses here thinking of opening up the tee sheet.
Well, that's good. I mean, I remember a lot of times I had rounds of living in Chicago. I had rounds in March frequently, and you know, sometimes the snow would fall after you played the first time or two. Still, the winter wasn't completely gone. But, you know, the earlier you can get going, there'll be people who want to play. We saw that the Eskimo Open had players this year in January. So, you know, golf has got its devotees, and you and I are among that group. But I think that it's going to be good to see a little cold weather golf. It's always kind of fun to just get out, play in the winter, and not think too much about what you shoot. Just be thankful that you're able to get outside again and hitting the ball.
Len, our next podcast, we will do it coming up this week with you, hopefully live in and around the press center at the Valspar Championship over at the Innisbrook Resort, and you'll be out there watching the pros try to navigate the Copperhead Golf Course. Also, a couple of other topics for us to hit around with the big driver is what's in the bag? And I know I've had a few people ask me, what kind of clubs are you using? And I know both you and I have made some equipment changes in the last couple of months. So for those who wonder what us golf media types are using and what we believe in, I think we can talk a little bit about that on the podcast. And as well, you know, it's getting to be that time of year as golf starts getting a little closer to that town of Augusta National, because the Masters now is, I believe, just 30 days or less from happening. And one of the great golf destinations in America is only about 83 miles down the road over in Greensboro, Georgia, and that's Reynolds Lake Oconee. And I just wrapped up a two-part piece on that property. But, you know, I know you have been there too, and we will have to discuss that property in depth a little further.
Absolutely. Reynolds Lake Oconee has got a great course designed by Jack Nicklaus, one of the very best in the country. Jack Nicklaus has, of course, done a whole lot of good courses, but Georgia itself, of course, is a great state for golf. Reynolds Lake Oconee is right in between Atlanta and Augusta, so I'm sure it's going to have a lot of it's going to be filled up right around Masters time, because a lot of people will want to be coming up from there. And that Reynolds Lake Oconee is probably the best golf destination within a reasonably short drive of the Masters. So it'll be interesting. It's always a busy place, always one of my favorite places. I haven't been there in a couple of years, but we're planning to go again. So bring it on. I think everybody will enjoy that place.
Well, I did play Great Waters on my last visit. The redesign by Jack Nicklaus is outstanding. And also, I think I found some of Reese Jones' best work. The Oconee course is nothing short of spectacular. But we can kick that around next week. With that, Len, we'll call it another week here for the Zeman Spears podcast series and get back to watching the Windy and Wet Players Championship. Talk to you next week.